Yeah, grew up poor. I grew up not being able to do the things I could see other kids and people do. And I was like, I don't like this. So I just started that journey of trying to get better. And then I've just learned that the work I put in now shows up 3 to 6 months later. So if I
Oh,
want
yes.
something, I have to do the work. It's a secret that no one likes to talk about. It's not sexy. It's not exciting. It's boring at times, like in sales. And I can use this one because this is like clockwork for me.
Welcome, everyone, to the 91 Day Success Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and I am really excited today for two reasons. One, I've got Joseph Graham with me today, and this is going to be an amazing conversation. I'm really looking forward to it. The other thing I'm excited about is that you guys may have noticed yesterday that we started something new here on the 91 Day Success Podcast, and we're streaming these live as we're recording them to give you guys a backstage look on what's happening, what it's like to be on a podcast, what happens, and I'm loving it. It's great. Now, we're still going to put out the formatted, the beautiful podcast on the road, but you get to see the raw stuff right here. Joseph, thanks for being willing to do that. I'm thrilled. For those that may not know you, could you start off by doing just a brief introduction to who you are and who you serve?
And I always start off this way. I'm a father and a husband first because that's my world. That's who I do this for. A lot of people may know me as a podcast host. I've dropped over 200 episodes on the Joseph Graham Show. I'm a sales expert. I've been in sales over 20 years. And I help people wake up to a life they love living and give them a path actually to get there. So I don't just help them talk about it. I actually give them an end game and then reverse engineer it back so that they're able to actually build a life they love waking up to instead of just dreaming about it.
I love that aspect. And again, one of the reasons I'm so excited to chat with you here is one of the things that I remember as a young man. And as a young man, I was probably in grade school. And my grandfather, who was an entrepreneur and owned a number of businesses, he took me aside and he shared with me as we were talking one day about, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I wasn't the kid that wanted to be the policeman and the fireman. I always had different aspirations. And he said to me, and I'll never, ever forget it, is, Jonathan, if you will do something that you love, then it will never feel like work. And so I've really tried my whole life, like you, I've been in sales and marketing pretty much my whole life, but I've never wanted to work at a job that felt like a J-O-B, basically a grave with the ends kicked out that sounded like a rut. I didn't ever want to be there. Does that mean that I love every day I go to work? No, of course not. We have our bad days. But I will tell you that I get tremendous fulfillment out of my work. I get tremendous joy out of my work. And as a result, as you mentioned, my family benefits from that because it's not just drudgery for me. So I love what you do and around that. Unpack that a little bit, if you will, for us, Joseph. Talk to us about how do you help people uncover those aspects and figure out how to live that life that's worth living?
Sure. And I think it's just been a journey for me because I grew up in the country in a little small town and was supposed to just go do the JOB, like you mentioned, get married, be there for 50 years, and it all fell and came crashing down. I had nowhere to go, fell into sales, not knowing what to do. But then I started to find my passion of helping people. And then I got to go on trips and got to do stuff. And I know you asked me, how do I help people? I got to give you the backstory first, real
Oh,
quick.
no, I
I
want
help
that. That's
people because
awesome.
I walked through a lot of stuff that people wouldn't maybe enjoy, but things happen for you. So I fell into sales,
Yes.
horrible at it. Told the first guy I went to sell, I can't do this. He goes, bro, I love Home Depot. I don't care. I'm going to buy either way. And I'm like, oh crap, first epiphany, it's not about me.
Yeah.
Secondly, I tried a bunch of different sales jobs. Some worked, some didn't. I would go from making over 100,000 a year to being on food stamps with two jobs, trying to work things through to the point where I finally found, wait a minute, this B2B space I'm good at. I can put a system in place where I work so many hours a day to build what I want to do. I won four President Circles award for a Fortune 50 company. You can see them behind me on the wall, which made me
Wow.
think, oh crap, I got something going on here. And then people just start saying, hey, help me. And at first I'm just helping them. And I'm like, okay, what, how do I help them? It pushed me into what do I really want? Because I was falling into roles. It wasn't that I was as purposeful. I didn't have a grandfather that was an entrepreneur. My parents worked hard. They went from working in factories to managing storage facilities for people, which was good for them. But so I fell into it. And then I started this whole journey of what does it look like? What do I want? And I was like, I want to take my kids to Disney. So I did that. I want to take my wife to Hawaii. We did that 5 years in a row. I want to do this. And I'm like, holy crap, this is working. And then people are like, hey, help me with sales. Help me with this. So I started saying, what is your end game? Because it's money is just money. You can make a bunch of money with passion, purpose, or a plan. Does not matter. It's going to suck. You're like, great, I have money now, but the problems are still there. The fresh are still there. So I reverse engineered. If I was working with you, Jonathan, I'm like, okay, cool. Where do you want to be in 3 years? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? And then we can just start planning to get there. So if you want to have your own job, have your own business, which sometimes can be a job, as we know.
Yes, it can be.
Over time, I need to know what your end game is, because now I can say, okay, cool. If you want to have that cabin in Montana, because I like this idea, and you want to have the mountains in the background, and you want to see the animals and have the river running through it and just have that thing, what's the cost of that? Okay, cool. To live comfortably in Montana, you could probably do that for $250,000. Maybe you're not a multimillionaire, but you're in Montana, you have the cabin you want, you have the stuff you do, cool. How much money do you need to do? What's a good skill that you have that you can give to other people? Do you even want to own your own business? Because I work with a lot of
Yes.
stuff as well. Or do you want to be a hybrid and have a side hustle and your day job? Or do you just want to crush it like I did in the sales world? And we start from there. It's like, I don't put people in the box of, because I know in the entrepreneurial world, I was like, I can never work a job. And then there's people that are like in the corporate world, I don't ever want to do this without the safety net. It's like, and then I just pull them from there and start to build it and set it up. Then we find a way to fund it. Because I think that's the biggest key that I've seen in the life coaching space. Yeah, Jonathan, you can do this. I believe in you. How do I get there? How do I get the money to do it?
Yeah.
We can actually get it to be practical with stuff that you're good at. Like you said, waking up to a life you love living, not having to do the things that you hate. Because if you're passionate about something, then you can make money off of it. And it's not hard to do.
I love what you say there. And it reminds me of a video that I saw that you recently did where you were, and I'm going to probably totally screw this up, but where you were talking about, it's so important in sales to understand what's in it for your customer. What are their needs? What are their desires? And what I hear you saying here is you're doing the exact same thing in not only in sales, but as you're helping your clients out, you're focused on what are their needs? What are their desires? And as you said, those may be different than what our personal needs are as we're doing that coaching and that consulting. I also love the fact that you're focused on the practical aspect of, okay, great, I want to do this. I've defined where I want to go. I know where I want to be a year from now or 2 years from now, but I need a ladder to get there because I can't just walk away from my job and my insurance and everything else and do that tomorrow because I haven't been planning for it. So how do we put together a plan to do that, to make that a reality? Because I really think that keeps a lot of people from pursuing their dreams because they maybe can have the dream, but they never really see that happening. They don't envision that success because they can't see the path to get there. So I love the fact that's part of what you're doing through that, Joseph. That's amazing. Talk to me a little bit. You gave us some background on how you got into this, but if you would, unpack a little bit more about how did you decide this is what you wanted to do? How did you talk to us about that process? Maybe any more background you want to share? How did you decide this is what was your passion to do the things you wanted to do for your family as a husband and a father?
Yeah, I grew up poor. I grew up not being able to do the things I could see other kids and people do. And I was like, I don't like this. So I just started that journey of trying to get better. And then I've just learned that the work I put in now shows up 3 to 6 months later. So if I want something, I have to do the work. It's a secret that no one likes to talk about. It's not sexy. It's not exciting. It's boring at times, like in sales. And I can use this one because this is like clockwork for me. Yeah. I know if I want to have clients, I have to email so many people a day. I have to call so many people a day. I have to connect on social media so many times a day. I have to do content. There's certain levers I have to pull. But I can only control my inputs. So if I'm controlling my inputs each and every day, that law of compounding interest is going to win. I won those awards because I just showed up every day and worked harder than other people. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't hustle all the time. I've done that. That sucks. You get burnout. You can't do it from morning to night. But if you have a set schedule, I know I said another naughty word, there was a schedule, but if you have a set schedule and you say, okay, cool, I'm going to do emails from 7 to 9, from 9 to 11, because I know my client's going to be there, I'm going to call them. Or if we go into the social media world, I'm going to post on all my platforms each day. I'm going to be active in my groups each day. I'm going to respond to people that raise their hands in the DM each day at a set time. then you don't get to the end of the day going, oh crap, I went down rabbit trails and I didn't do anything. It's always a law of compounding interest. Success is boring. It's doing the right things over and over each day for a known result. And I just got really good at being consistent. And then I started leveling up my knowledge. I started reading books. I started growing my network, people I talked to, who I wanted to be around. I'm like, oh crap, this person's successful in sales. I'm going to talk to him. So like when I was in sales, I'd find the top sales guy when I was first starting out. Mm-hmm. Hey, is there a way we can trade? Is there anything I can do to learn from you? I listened to podcasts. I read books. I started doing things that would get my mind going. So when people started asking me, how did you do this? It was pretty simple. And a lot of times they're like, but what's the secret? Show up every day. What's the secret? Get 1% better every day. What's the secret?
Yes.
Do the things you need to do each and every day. Again, it's not sexy or great, but guess what? A year from now, you're going to either be in the same spot you are, or if you did one to two things for your business, your goals, your dreams each day, you'd be so much farther and so much closer than if you just thought about it, dreamed about it. And don't, no judgment. For years, I thought about it. I dreamed about it. I'd sit on the couch and watch the show. But that would be so great. And then all of a sudden, it was like, holy crap. My company just paid for me to go to Palm Beach to a 5-star hotel because I sold them enough money. I'm like, I know me. Like, I don't, there's nothing like super special because you, in your head, you think so. There's nothing super special about me. But then I'm talking to CEOs of $1 million companies. I'm talking to ad directors. I'm talking to public speakers. If you look at my network, I have really a bunch of cool people that feel like, how did you talk to them? I just reached out and said, hello. I just made the connection. That human connection was the other key that I think so many times we forget, because we forget that when we're posting our content, when we're posting our stuff, there's another human on the other side of that keyboard. And when you make it, it's the Ziegler principle. When you make it about them and you solve the problems, you don't lack because money comes in. There's nothing new under the sun. We just repackage it with our own brand. I might do the Joe Graham brand. You might do the Jonathan Mass brand. Our buddy Jeff Ross might do the caffeinated kangaroo thing because he's all into that type of stuff. But there's nothing new under the sun. The principles are the principles. We just have to walk them out and it follows suit. Now, the same principles are in mind because you have to think about it. If you don't do the emails, if you don't do the calls, if you don't produce the content, if you don't do the stuff you need to do, guess what? You're going to have no clients. You can have no sales. And you'll be like, oh, it's rigged. No, it's not rigged. You didn't do the work. And if you don't do the work, you're not going to reap the reward. If you don't sow the seeds, you're not going to get the fruits. It's just, again, I wish I could tell you, I could tell you one thing to do and you would be a multimillionaire next week. That's not how it works.
Boy, there's so much that you just unpacked right there. I want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to the last few minutes. Joe, you just talked about things that for my entire career, not only have I tried to do, but I've struggled with, admittedly, that being on schedule, knowing that, yes, if I do, this is going to happen. To me, two things you said there that just really resonated. One is what I do today impacts what happens down the road. And I have found in my case, for most of the sales jobs I've had, there was about a 90 to 120 day delay. And I know it's a little different depending on industries, but that meant if I want to do well, so we're just coming into August here as we record this. Now, if I go September, October, November, if I want sales in November and December, I have to be doing things this week to drive that, because it's going to do that. The other thing, I love the analogy of levers. There are levers you need to pull. I've made the mistake you talked about, which is, okay, I need to make calls. So instead of making 10 calls every single day, like clockwork, I'll go make 100 and I'll do that for 3 days and then I'll stop. Versus had I done the 10 every single day or whatever that number is, I'm picking a number, but had I done that consistently, it would have done so much more, because I know every time in my life I've done that consistently, the results, like you said, it's exponential growth. You're getting that growth. It's like that snowball rolling down a hill. It starts small. The further it rolls down the hill, the bigger that snowball gets, the more powerful it gets, the more everything it has. But I think we so often miss on that. So if you're listening in today, go back and listen to those last couple of minutes, whether you're in sales, whether you're in HR, I don't care what you do. Take those goals that Joe's talking about and identify those levers that you need to pull. That's going to be my next question is, Joe, how do people identify what those levers are? Because it is going to be different levers depending upon what their goals and objectives are. How do they go about figuring out what those levers are in their life?
About getting a system in place that works for you. What is your end game? Again, I'm always going to go this. What is your end goal? What do you want? So I'll give you mine. I want a cabin in Montana. My wife wants condos in Hawaii. That's going to take a lot of money. That's going to take a lot of time. So I know I need to build my day job, which I still have. I need to build my coaching so that I can help more people. But the levers I pull is showing up each and every day. They are two different things. So online, right, you'll see me pretty much every day I do a live. And I do it live on purpose because I want you to see the authentic me. I don't want to be able to fix it. I don't want it to be perfect. I want it to be authentic because, again, I want that human connection. Secondly, I'm going to do a long-form content to pull people in because I want them into the world to talk to them. I'm going to do short-form content for memes because people's attention span is short. And I'm going to do a reel. So I do probably 4 to 5 posts a day. That's my choice. I'm not saying that's what you need to do. That's just what I'm doing because I'm pretty ambitious. Then I follow up with the people in my world that have raised their hand. Now, there's two ways that they raise their hands because people get confused in this. They comment. That's the easy one. We all can say, oh, sit, help me. Great. A lot of times people would just like a post. Those are the people I'll actually go out to in the DM and say, hey, Jonathan, I know you like this post that I did on waking up to life you love living. Did you have any questions on it, or what is the life you want to live? Just something about them. Again, not pitching them. I'm not selling them. They liked it. So they said, hey, I like your stuff. I'm building that relationship. Now, hear me. Do not pitch them right away. If you do that, you just say, hey, all you're doing is building a relationship. Jonathan and I met through our buddy Jeff Ross. We started talking. I didn't go, hey, Jonathan, nice to meet you. I'm Joe Graham. Oh, by the way, can I be on your podcast? Can I do this? None of that happened. We developed a relationship. He said, hey, I would like you to come on because, again, human connection. Sitting around the campfire for thousands of years, men would talk. And then they would be like, okay, trust and know. So when you go into a DM because someone liked your post, ask them about why they liked it or something about them and shut up. Do not pitch. In fact, I don't even pitch the first, second, third. I want them to come in my world. I want to see if they're a good fit. Because second thing, I'm super selective with who I hire or who I actually allow to hire me. Mm-hmm. I will walk away from a deal. I've walked away from deals on purpose because it just didn't feel right. Now, the only way you can do that is what me and Jonathan talked about before, pulling the levers of prospecting or reaching out to your ideal client or content or however you bring your person in or your website or your funnel or whatever. If you have enough opportunities coming in, you don't have to say yes to the wrong opportunities. The reason you're saying yes to the wrong opportunities is because you only have two or three. And you're like, crap, I got to pay my bills. But you might find out sometimes that's hell. So have your boundaries, have your precise, this is my ideal client. This is who I want to help. This is who I want to serve. And you just, again, there's little steps that you do each and every day. But I have the big dream and goal in mind because I was like, when it gets tough, I'm like, but I still want that cabin in Montana. I still want to travel to Greece. I still want to do all these things. That's my why. But it's not motivation that keeps you. It's the discipline to the commitment you made to yourself that make you show up each and every day so that you'll get one step closer to it. Because motivation is great. Everyone loves motivation when you're hearing it and you're all hyped up and it's great. But there's going to be days, like Jonathan said, you get punched in the mouth. You're like, oh my God, the world hates me. I can't do this. No one's listening to me. I only got one like on this post that was great. But you just keep showing up. Then all of a sudden, you do a random post. This ain't going to get nothing. And you get, like Johnson said, 1,000 views and 25 likes. And you're like, what the heck? What's different here? You kept showing up. You kept reaching out. And your ideal client was drawn to you because you were authentic. You were consistent. And you keep showing up in their feed.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So true across the board. Love how you describe that. Talk to us a little about your podcast now. So you do a podcast. Obviously, you've been talking about your consulting and that, but talk about the podcast. And I'm really curious in particular, Joseph, why a podcast? Why did you choose that to get your message out as one of the ways that you're connecting with your audience?
But it's a funny story. So it used to be called the 150K podcast because I set it up because I wanted to help dad break the 100K barrier. Because in the US at that time, only 18% of people we're making over 150K. We're actually making over 100K. I know everyone tells you to be a millionaire and all this stuff, but I wanted to get people to step one. And I'm like, I want to help dads take their kids to Disney because that was cool. That was the intention behind it. But then as it grew, I started networking with people. I started learning more about health, spirituality, education, like just so many different topics that the 150K was just boxing me in. And my good friend Liz Benning's like, you need to come out from behind the curtain and just shine. So I was trying to think of other different names to come up with it. And finally, just like, okay, cool. I'm just going to call it the Joseph Graham Show. because then I can help build epic lives and take you wherever you want to go to do what you want to do. And I don't have any rules on it. And I've had really cool people on there. I had our buddy Jeff Ross is going to be on there. I've had, I don't know if you know who Steve Sims is, Brian Bogart. Like, I've had people on there. And here's the crazy thing, because I didn't know there were rules in podcasting. I just asked. So I was having big people on my 25th episode. And I don't remember the exact, but like normally you had to have so many episodes before people come on. I was having like mega super, and it just grew. And then it became like the networking thing that I love, because now, honestly, and this is selfish in this part, which is okay to be selfish for yourself at times. I get to talk to people that would normally charge you $20, $30, $40, $60,000 for their time, literally for an hour of their time. And they come on the show and they give their wisdom because I'm giving them something back, which is my audience.
Right. Yes.
And it's just grown from there. And I love people. And I always try to do it differently. So when I'm on a podcast with someone, if you're known for marketing, I'm not talking to you about marketing normally. I'll bring it up because that's your thing. But a lot of times I try to pull out something different or something that maybe goes with it, but just a different thing, because I don't want it to be the same cookie cutter show, same answer, same blah, 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 because I have an ADHD screen. I want to know why you're a great marketing person. Great. Why do you think that is? What is it about the human design, and dig in deep there? Or, oh, you built this business. What drove you to do that? I don't care about always the principles, because a lot of times these big name people, they have their spiel. My goal at the end of my podcast is going to be funny, is to have them say, I've never been asked those questions before. I didn't ever look at it that way. Thank you for letting me get that out. That I know that's funny, but that's just how my mind works. But then I think that the way that it makes the conversation better, and people are like, oh, this is cool. I like this.
I really like the way you brought that up. And the comment you mentioned there that I think was cool, I love podcasting. It's one of the reasons I do it. I think it's a great way to get out there. It's a great way to create content that's helpful, that's engaging. But one of the things you mentioned there that I think stops so many people from thinking about podcasting for themselves is, who am I going to get on my podcast if I do an interview? Who am I going to do? I, like you, did the exact same thing. I'll never forget. My first episode was with an author that I never thought I would get on my podcast, but I just asked. And guess what? He never asked how many people watch my podcast. He never asked anything else. He just said, yeah, I'd love to do it. And he was actually my first podcast guest that even today I'd be a little surprised to get, simply because I was at an event. He was there. I asked, and he's, yeah, absolutely. He gave me his card and we connected. Out of the, you've done more than I have, but I'm pushing, I think, 85 episodes now, 90 right in that area. I have only once had somebody actually ask me to tell them about my audience, how many people I had, how many subscribers I had, and that's it. So I've done 80 plus podcasts without anybody asking, and I've had some major figures on that have never asked. Most people don't care. They just want that opportunity to get more exposure, especially if you're talking, as I do a lot, to authors and business owners and that type of stuff. It's very easy to get them to participate. Like you said, you just have to ask. And 99% of them say yes. I love that. That's a great tip. In a general rule, do you recommend podcasting to a lot of the people that you work with as a way to establish their voice in that? Or what types of things do you do? Because obviously a lot of times that, I'm guessing your consulting helps people build that personal brand that's part of it. Maybe not. I don't know. Again, you and I just recently met. But is that something that you encourage? Or what does that look like from your perspective, Joseph?
It just depends on what they want. Are they comfortable getting in front of the mic? Do they want to build it? I think podcasting is a great way to do it because it gives you content for your day. So like when I record a podcast, then I'll pop these into reels. And now I got two pieces of content that I can do going forward. And I find out, is it first going to be something that they can commit to? Because most podcasts make it to 8 to 15 episodes and stop. So anyone that I encourage to do a podcast, I'm like, look, this is a long game. If you're going to do this, at least commit to 50 episodes and then reevaluate it from there. Second, what message are you trying to do? If you just want to talk about you and your stuff, that's not really a good podcast form. Let's do reels. Let's do video. Let's do short form stuff for you there. If you're wanting to build an empire, build a brand, become a known authority, then a podcast is great because guess what? Jonathan and I now have credibility in each other's audiences because we're on the same show together and it builds right. that authority. So it just really depends again. I know I keep saying it this way, but it really does. What to do with your life? Because so many times we have the cookie cutter boxes and I'm the guy that's like, no, that doesn't work for me. I'm just going to kick it over here and try something else. And a lot of times I fall on my face. I understand that. But then there's other times things happen and it works out. In the beginning, a lot of times I suggest they go on someone else's podcast, start sharing their story, get comfortable with what they're saying, who their message is, what they're doing. But I want them to be open and free flowing. I've had clients come on to my show and, hey, look, you're a client. This is going to help me. I'm going to help you. Let's talk and let me help you get warmed up with it as well. So I use it as a tool to help some of my clients. And you'll never know which ones are my clients because I never say that. I just talk like we're talking here. And because mm-hmm. I'm already a known authority in podcasting, I have a decent sized audience that gets the credibility as well. It really, again, just depends on what they're trying to do. In the beginning, I always say, hey, go on someone's podcast, get comfortable with it. The other thing I do say is this, though. It doesn't have to be perfect. When I started out, I had an old HP computer. I had the computer from the HP or the camera from the HP computer and a gamer headset. I'm talking to multimillionaires with a sucky camera and a gamer headset. Not this little cool one right here, like the big like ones where you have the thing here and all. And I'm sitting here. And here's the funny story, because I know I mentioned Steve Sims. In the middle of it, I'm doing this with Steve Sims, who's talks to billionaires. Like, he's a really cool dude. He's a friend of mine, so I can say this stuff. And my headset dies in the halfway point of the podcast. I rip my headset off. I let my family know, don't say anything, because now I'm going off of computer audio. Second half. He was so gracious. But it was funny, because most people, that would have been like, oh, no, it's the end of the world. And I'm like, it happens. It's life.
Yeah, exactly. It reminds me of where we started at on this podcast. We got on here and most guys didn't see that. And it was, all right, do you want to go live or not? This is something new that I've been doing. And I loved your attitude at that point is, let's go live and show everybody what this is like. We'll still do the production version and get the overlays and all that in. But I find that live video is such a great way to connect with people because it is so indeed authentic. And I think nowadays that's so important to be able to share that with people. So yeah, tremendous insights, Joseph. I really appreciate that. Talk to me a little bit about what's happening over the next few years. I know my crystal ball is a little cloudy and cracked, but as you take a look, how do you think opportunities are going to be available for people that want to pursue those dreams? And do you see any changes happening or things that may be different or new than what they have been in the past?
I think it all depends on what they want to do, what effort they're willing to put in. Now, the landscape changing, AI. We were just on an AI symposium about a month ago.
Yeah.
And with AI, things are getting shrunk. Things can get done faster. Like before, I would have to cut reels up from my podcast, which I really didn't want to do, so I didn't take the time. Now I have an AI video I can do that with, that it just chops it for me. I think you're going to have to be willing to adapt, grow, and learn, like in any industry. But it goes back to, what's your why? What are you looking to do? Mm-hmm. What are you looking to accomplish? You don't have to have 50 to 80 million followers or 70 to 125,000 followers to build a life you love living. I know people that have Instagrams that have 1,000 to 5,000 and they're making 10, 20, 30K months. What is it that you're wanting to do? Because relationship will always be the currency of what we need to use. Relationship is the thing that I think everyone forgets about. They forget about the fact that there's someone there, because with AI, everything's shrunk. So always remember this. You're trying to reach a person. Maybe you're using AI tools, maybe you're using other stuff. That's great. I'm all for it, not against it. I use it in my everyday life. It helps me save time. If you make your message clear and precise about connecting with them and helping them solve their problems, that key will establish you throughout any change in any industry. Now, every industry changes. How we do sales, how we do video, how we do marketing, there's different nuances, new people that come in. 5, 6 years ago with Gary Vee, right now it's Hormozy. It might be someone else in 5 or 6 years. It doesn't matter. Still, some of the same principles are there. It's just finding your voice, showing up every day, and being the person you need to do, and then adapting to things that can help you. I don't think anything's really changed in a long time. The guy that was doing sales in the 90s is still the same principles. If you do it right, put the person first, help people, and you win.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're absolutely right. And again, my crystal ball has been cracked, but I like the way you look at that and the perspective. I I know I've always accepted and embraced that the future is bright, no matter where we are, no matter what's happening. The future is really up to us. It reminds me of a statement I'm sure we've all heard before, which is life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you deal with that and what you make of it, how you choose to react to that. And I think that's so true as we take a look at bettering ourselves, improving ourselves, and pursuing our dreams, whether it's that cabin in Montana or the condo in Hawaii, or in your case, if you want to keep everybody happy, both. And that's awesome because that's all attainable with those plans, especially when we go back to some of the basics that you talked about, understanding those levers that you need to pull now in order to have that success down the road. Absolutely love that entire process. Joseph, if people want to reach out and they want to understand more about you, we'll put links to the podcast and all that, obviously, but if they want to connect, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
Sure. It's on pretty much every platform. It's Joe Graham, R-E-A-L. Because I tried to do an Instagram for Joe Graham, and there's a dude that has 8, and I can't get it. So I just put Joe Graham Real. It's me. But that's my TikTok. That's my YouTube. That's everything but Facebook and LinkedIn. LinkedIn's just my typical Joseph Graham. And then I actually did get Joe Graham for Facebook. They will let more than one person have that name. But there, yeah, that's the easiest way. The podcast is on pretty much anywhere you drop podcasts. But yeah, love to help. I do the DM, so I don't have a VA. So if you reach out and you get the response, which I do respond, it's me. Feel free to ask me questions. Reach out. Love to chat.
We should chat on that. I'd love to figure out how you manage it, because my biggest thing now is I let people know you may not get a response from me immediately, but it will be me when I respond to that. So I love the fact that you're still doing your DMs as well. So one final question that I love to ask, and I always hate to do it that way, but since we're live, I'm going to do it anyway. The name of our podcast is the 91 Day Success Podcast. And so I'm going to ask you, I did not prep you for this, so there's no right or wrong answer. But if you were advising someone, and this really fits in with what you do, I think, and they had 91 days to make an impact, to move towards that goal, to build what they wanted, what would you recommend that person do in general? I know each goal is a little different, but in the first 3 months, what things should someone do if they want to make that change? They want to start that new life. They want to start that new venture, whatever it is. What would you recommend they do in the first 91 days?
First, have a clear picture of what you want to be in 91 days. So 91 days, we talked about this before, the work you do now shows up in 91 days. So if I'm first a new coach, my goal would be in 91 days, I want to have 3 new clients. So that's one every 30 days. Now, I know that might not sound like major, but if I'm new at coaching, I want to make sure I have my ideal client. I want to make sure I have my stuff set and they can be my beta group. So if I'm trying to learn this, I might be like, cool. Hey, guess what, Jonathan? I'm doing a beta group. I'm a sales coach. I'm learning this. So I'm going to give you a discounted price on it because we're going to have to tweak it a little bit, but I want to help you get to where you go. You already know I can do sales and I will reiterate what I can do, but I might do something like that to get people in my world to test and try, because I'm looking at this from the first 91 days. Now, if I'm an established business and right now I'm barely hitting payroll, in 91 days, if I want more sales, cool. As a sales professional, I'm going to tell the salespeople to do this. Great. You know what your numbers are. So if you need to sell $5,000 a month, how many people do you need to talk to? So if you need to have 5 presentations a day, you probably are going to need to reach out to 200 people a day. This is sales world. This is a little bit different than online. Happy world. I'm going to go deep here on sales. You're going to reach out to 200 people a day through emails and calls and be consistent 5 days a week. And then by the second or third week, you'll start to have 4 to 5 presentations, which you'll be able to slow your calls down from 200 to 100 because you're just starting out trying to build this. So that the goal is by the time you get to that third month, you're still prospecting because you still want people to come in, but you're probably maybe reaching out to 50 new people a day because you have the people that you are already in your world that you talked to about your product or service that you're running through your presentation. And then once you get that going, you do the big push in the beginning, then you can do the 50 a day, and the 5 presentations, you close 2. Oh, great. Guess what? Now you're selling $10,000 a month. You can adjust those numbers if you need to. You do the work heavy in the first month. So in the second month, you can tweak it and balance it out so that by the third month, you have a consistent pattern of, when I get up in the morning, I have this set, I have it time blocked for each of these levers or tasks I need to do that's going to get me to the goal I want.
I absolutely love that. That's fantastic advice. And I think something everybody can follow literally starting today if they want to. Yeah. Joseph, I want to thank you for hopping on here, for connecting as we did, having the opportunity. I'm so looking forward to getting to connect with you further and continue to get to know you and leverage that. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. We also want to thank everybody that's joined in on the live stream, that's watching this on the replay, that's watching our published one that goes out. Thank you for all of you guys. We love you guys. We want your feedback too. Let us know what you think of these interviews. I'd also love your feedback on what do you think about going live and then doing the published version. So this live is going to show up on obviously social media. It's out on Joe's YouTube, Joe's Facebook, mine in the same way. But this one doesn't show up on Apple Podcasts. It's the edited one. Would love your feedback on that. Don't forget to subscribe. We love you guys all. Have a great day. See you on the other side. Bye, everybody.